News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Oh, good morning, Saskatchewan. I'm Woodsy, back with you for another edition of Garden Talk, alongside Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Sunday tradition here, and we're ready to take your calls and texts at 1-877-332-8255. Anything to do with your plants, trees, shrubs, give us a call or text, and Rick will be happy to answer them for you. Rick, good to talk to you again. Weather's been pretty good, a little smoky out there, so hopefully that doesn't hamper people's attempts to get out in the garden, but I guess the pressure is on to take advantage of the garden work while you can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of stuff to do out in the garden and lots of pruning to do of your maples and birches right now especially. And now the fall bulbs are in all the stores right across Saskatchewan. So get your tulips, daffodils, crocuses, and especially garlic. And you can even plant lily bulbs in the fall. So, you know, those kind of things you can get a head start on the spring. But there's a lot of things like those fall bulbs you cannot buy in the spring. And a lot of people come and try to buy those plants in the spring, and it just doesn't work. You have to come in the fall to be able to enjoy them in the spring, and there's so many different new colors and varieties out there, especially for even some of the collector people, that there's some new varieties out there. And so take a shot at that, especially the garlic. People are so much getting, with the cold COVID thing, everybody's starting to eat more at home. Planting your garlic. Everybody loves garlic in all their cooking, so plant your garlic in the fall that you can enjoy it next summer again.
1-877-332-8255. If you have a question or comment for Rick Van Dyvendyke, by all means, pass it along, and we'll get to as many texts as we possibly can. I'll get to a few of them with all the phone calls as well. I was over visiting with somebody yesterday who was cutting plants down out of the garden, basically saying that, well, you know, it's flowered. I don't like mushy plants in the springtime, so I'm cutting it out of here. Is that a thing at this time of year?
Yeah, a lot of people are starting to, you know, put their gardens to bed, and all the perennials, especially with the frost we had about a little week ago, it turned brown and black, all the perennials. Myself, I like leaving the perennial leaves until spring because they fall down and act like a natural mulch. It's a natural protection for them. But if you have your garden beds all full of mulch anyways, yes, you can clean them up because, yes, it is easier. Not so mushy as what they get in the spring. But like I said, myself, nature takes care of itself, and usually when they lay down, they're causing themselves a little bit of frost protection for the wintertime.
All right, calls rule here on Garden Talk, 1-877-332-8255. If you have a question for Rick, your best chance to talk to him is through the phone line, but we also have a few texts at that same number coming in right now, and we'll get started. Lindsay from Saskatoon, Rick has a question about her spruce trees. They have needle cast. Can I treat them now, or is it best to wait until the spring? And what is the best treatment for them?
Yeah, with this weather we have right now, you can treat them right away. As long as a lot of the province, I think we're supposed to get some rain today, unless that changed. But you don't want to do it just before it's going to rain. But you use a product called copper spray, or another name for it is Bordeaux. And you spray them once now, and then you spray them again next June, starting around June 1st, three times. Spray them, and it's 14 days between the sprayings. And that will help suppress it and help you the tree to survive. But also, what's very important is that in May, around usually Mother's Day, start fertilizing those plants using a sulfur-based fertilizer. And you can either use 30-10-10, or you can even use what I use for the acreages in bigger areas. I use that groundskeeper fertilizer because it has a sulfur and it has an iron in it to help get the new growth coming to help the tree combat that disease, because they need to be healthy to combat it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I hope that answers your question. And Saskatoon, Lindsay, here's another one, Rick. Have a few plants that I'd like to winter in the house, a canna lily, a geranium, a dipeldania. But they're still flowering. When should I put them to bed for the winter?
If you're going to just wait, a lot of times what I'll do is just wait to get just a touch of frost, but they probably have that already. So things like geraniums and that, you can trim them right back and then bring them indoors and then put them in a basement window where it's a little bit darker, a little bit cooler, but has a little bit of light. And then when you trim them back and then you just water them very sparingly. You might water them once a month type of thing when the soil starts to get dry, but not bone dry. You do not want them to go bone dry. So just dry, but so they sort of go in suspension, almost like hibernation. And then what you want to do with the geraniums is you want to bring them up into the sunlight and start watering them in January. And then they'll start growing, and you can actually take cuttings and start new ones from that as well.
All right. That's for Willa in Regina. One more here. I get aphids on the dill in my garden every summer. How do I break the cycle? I'm guessing we're going to be talking about ladybugs here.
ladybugs next year, yes, that works awesome. Ladybugs, you're starting to see them all over the place right now because they're in the full top of their cycle right now because the aphids were so heavy this year as well. So what you want to do is that you for next spring, aphids, what they do is they lay eggs in the fall. That's the only time they lay eggs. Next spring, they're born pregnant. They're asexual, so they're born pregnant. And then what they do is they now give birth to pregnant aphids. Okay, so you can imagine how quickly you get multiple generations in the spring. So right away in the spring, as soon as the leaves are coming out, the aphids are going to hatch right away. You're going to be there. You're not going to see them, but they're going to be tiny little and small. So what you need to spray them with something like an insecticidal soap or Andol, which is a canola oil insecticidal soap together. You need to spray them and get on top of them first thing in the spring, as soon as the leaves start appearing. And if you can stop those first generations, you'll have a lot less problem all summer long.
I'll tell you one thing. If you're looking for ladybugs, just go to any golf course. I was out playing yesterday. Man, the greens were just covered with them. So, there seems to be a lot more this year. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-877-332-8255. Lorraine, you're Saskatoon, standing by. Good morning, Lorraine. What's your question for Rick?
Good morning. It's so ironic that the first call or the first text you did was about nasal cast, and I think that's what we have, but I wanted to confirm with Rick. We're on an acreage, and these are like 35-year-old, 40-foot spruce trees, and they're orange needles around the inside of the tree. The outside branches are looking fine. Do you think that's needle cast?
It could be, but needle cast usually works its way to the outside, all in different locations around the tree, not just the inside. But it could be the start of it. Now, you've got to remember, if you get some of those orange or brown needles, sometimes it could be distress too, because they will, all pines and spruces will drop needles when they're under, especially a stressful year, whether too dry or too wet, or been transplanted, or been had root disruption, but also from things like spider mite and also needle cast. Okay. So you need to check. I was looking at some trees last night, and I did notice some needle cast and some spider mite, both in the spruce trees. You need to do some scouting and check what it is. So what you need to do if it is needle cast, you can spray once this fall, and then three times next June as well in the month of June, 14 days apart. But also you need to start fertilizing those trees next May because they put all their new growth on in June, the spruces. You need to set the banquet table in May so that they can just give her in June.
Okay. So is aluminum sulfate a good fertilizer? Is that what you said?
Yeah, aluminum sulfate, or you can use a rapid-release sulfur, or if you got a lot of spruce trees on a farm, you could use the same fertilizer, which has an elemental sulfur as you use on canola, let's say. For acreages, you can also use a fertilizer which is made in Saskatchewan. It's called Groundskeeper. You can use it for your lawn, but you can also use it for your spruce trees as well because it has sulfur and iron in it to help the trees recoup.
Okay, good to know. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call, Lorraine. Appreciate it. Hope that all works out for you. Let's take one more call here before we go to a break in Saskatoon. Again, go to Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning, Rick. I'm not a green thumb, but I've got a hedge, and it's a fairly big hedge. I've trimmed it to about 8 feet, but last year it was getting a brown patch on the leaves, and this has got nothing to do with fall time. And that patch has spread all throughout basically the whole hedge this year, and it's killing my hedge, and I don't know what's going on.
Is it a cotoneaster hedge?
It's a green one, Rick.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing.
It's starting to turn brown before fall. It was turning brown last year.
Are the leaves shiny in the summertime? Have a blackberry in the fall, but also turn orange red in the fall?
Yes.
Leaf? Okay, so what you have is Contoniaster, and what you have is Fireblight. So what's the best thing to do with that plant is fall through
fire
the hole.
Blight.
What's that?
Fire Blight?
Fire Blight, yes.
Okay.
You can look it up, Fire Blight and Contoniaster, like cotton, Easter, okay, Contoniaster. You can look it up, and that's what it is. If that's the case, if it's right through the whole thing, what I suggest, as soon as the leaves fall off this fall, cut that plant right to the ground. Once the leaves fall off, cut it right to the ground, and then it'll start back up next spring like a fury. But you got to clean up all the leaves, clean up all the debris, everything, and get it right out of the yard. Don't use it as compost or anything. It has to be out of the yard.
Okay, and there's nothing you can do to prevent this stuff, or is it spraying or nothing?
Nothing. You're keeping it clean because now it's just spreading in what's in the plant. It's just spreading right through. But the one thing about fire blight is it's always going to spread to your apple trees and your flowering crabs and your mountain ash. So that's why.
Yeah, and I do have crab apples on the other side of the tree, other side of the yard, sorry.
So you want to get rid of it. If you want to, you can send pictures to me to rick@dutchgrowers.com, and I can verify it for you as well. Or bring a sample into a garden center in a bag, and they can take a look at it and make sure that's what it is.
I'll do that, Rick. Thanks very much.
All right, Kevin. Thank you very much for your call. We've got a couple other callers standing by, but we do have to take a short break. But if you have a question or comment for Rick Van Dyvendyk, by all means, give us a shout. 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning. 22 minutes past the hour here on Garden Talk. Woodsy with Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers. I had to chuckle at the caller with the hedge, and when you asked what kind of hedge it was, it was a green one. Yeah, he's preaching to the choir there, buddy. I know exactly how he feels here. I want to get a text in here, Rick, before we take some more calls. From Allison Saskatoon, how far down should you cut bleeding hearts?
Bleeding hearts, once they turn all brown, you can cut them right to the ground because they'll come right back up next year. That's what the perennials do is they come back next year. And you trim them right to the ground.
All right. Need some help here, James. Where are we going here? To Dave or to Gene? All right, here we go. Here we go, Gene. Sorry about that. Gene in Saskatoon, go ahead.
Good morning. I brought in some young fig trees, potted fig trees. They're about a year old. And I've noticed now there's little, like, fruit flies buzzing around down there. What can I spray the soil and the tree with not to damage the fig tree?
Yeah, so what you have is called fungus gnats. They live in the peat moss that's in the soil. And what you need to get rid of them with is very simple. You slice a sliced potato. You know, when you're cooking your supper at night and you got your potato. Cut a slice out, put it on the soil, leave it there overnight or the next day, and then you'll lift up the potato and have a little spoon with you. You'll see the little tiny worms on the potato and underneath the potato. Scoop up the ones on the soil, throw it in the garbage, and then put another slice of potato there. After about three or four slices of potatoes, you'll get rid of all your fungus gnats.
Oh, I guess I better go buy some potatoes.
Yeah, that's the best organic way to get rid of them. And you can also put little sticky traps, the little tiny yellow sticky traps. They catch the adults. The flies themselves, they don't do anything to the plant on the leaves itself. It's little maggots that will chew on the roots in the soil. Oh. But they're mainly there to annoy you. That's all they're really there for.
And what did you call them?
Fungus gnats.
Fungus gnats. Okay. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thank you very much, Gene. That's interesting, Rick. You know, so many things that we kind of take for granted could actually help you with all kinds of problems, right?
Yeah. There's lots of just little natural things and simple things to do, but fungus gnats, we used to have sprays to be able to spray out to the soil, but those have gone off the market now. So the best way is just to use sticky traps and use a potato. That's the easiest way to get rid of them. There is now, you can also buy little nematodes. It's another little insect that goes into the soil and actually attacks the larva stage of the fungus gnat, and you can use that as well. It's called pot poppers, and it's a nematode it's another insect that goes after the fungus gnat.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 1-877-332-8255. Dave in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Dave.
Good morning. I enjoy the show each week. I have a Valiant grapevine that's about 30 years old. I have it on the south side of the garage. It gets lots of sun. What I want to do is cut it back and replace the trellis under it. I'm just wondering how much I can cut it back and when. And as well, the main trunk of the vine is about an inch and a half. So yep, how far down should I go?
That's not a problem. I would suggest leading about 3 feet, okay?
Okay.
And cut it down to about 3 feet. You can cut it right down and do that once the leaves have fallen off the plant, okay?
Okay.
So as soon as a couple more good frosts and the leaves fall off or turn totally brown, you know, not green anymore at all.
Okay.
And then you can cut it to 3-4 feet, whatever height you really want to. That's not a problem, and next year it'll just come back like crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's... I've never had a failure on it each year. It just loaded each year, so.
Yeah, no, you'll get as many fruit, obviously, next year because it's going to push all its energy to regrow, but you'll still get a bunch of fruit on it next year.
Okay. Uh-huh. How do you stop sparrows from eating the fruit?
That, you almost got to put a net over top of your trellis for the summertime. That's about the only way.
Okay,
Dave.
Otherwise, just get up a little earlier in the morning and beat them.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mary now, standing by in Borden. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
Question regarding apples. We've got four fabulous apple trees, Prairie Sensation and Prairie Sun. And for the last couple years, we have been getting apple maggots that they make the railroad tracks in the apple. From the start, you can't see very much, but as you keep the apple, it gets more distinct. This year, I was able to see about four of the flies. They're very odd looking. They sort of look like a Batmobile.
That's right.
I have been careful to pick off all the windfall apples off the ground so that there is nothing there to save eggs for the next year. A neighbor in town has the same problem, and he's been spraying his apple trees twice, once in spring, once in fall, and he is still getting the same problem. What would you suggest?
Okay, there's a couple things you need to do. One is that the time you saw... Record about basically the time you saw them this year, okay?
The fly?
The fly, yep.
This is the only year that I've ever seen it.
Yeah, so remember that time of the year when you saw them, okay?
Okay.
It was probably more so in July, is that correct?
No. I was picking off the apples earlier this year because everything matured much earlier, and that's when I saw them, when I was picking off the Prairie Sensation apples, the long winter keepers.
Yep. So what you want to do is that you can spray. You can find a product called Fruit Guard. It works good, and you have to spray about every 10 days in just after bloom, and just when before about till about the mid July type of thing. But if you do notice them, what you need to do is you need to pick the apples before they hit the ground, because once the apples hit the ground, and sometimes even before that, the maggots will bore out of the apple and go into the ground, and they'll go into the larva stage into the ground, and then they start the cycle next year all over again.
Okay, so, I would say I picked about 95% of the apples before they fell to the ground.
Yeah, and then also what you can do next, basically at the end of June, you can put some spears up there. Basically, what it is a fake apple, and you put what we call tanglefoot, which is sticky substance. And they'll catch that fly, and it'll get stuck in the sticky substance, and they'll catch that fly before it lays the eggs. They think it's an apple, and they will land on it, right? So you can use a lime green tennis ball even, and put the this tanglefoot over them. The only thing I always tell people to do if they're going to do that, they need to put a little wire mesh around that tennis ball or fake apple as well, because otherwise the little wrens will see the little flies stuck on there, and they'll try to eat the flies and get stuck on the ball as well. So put a little mesh around them so just the flies can get through the mesh, but not the birds.
All right, Mary, thank you very much for the call. 1-877-332-8255 if you have a question or comment for Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. We have to take a break for news. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Woodsy here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers, 37 minutes past the hour. 1-877-332-8255 if you have a question or comment for Rick Van Dyvendyke about your gardening issues. Rick, you were saying today that actually this is an important time of year, right, to make sure that everything is cleaned up in the yard, and also watering becomes a factor as well.
Yeah, basically during the month of September, I'd like to slow down, just keep plants moist but not wet. It's very important. And if it is, if your yard is wet, then you need to aerate and around some of those plants and just get them to dry up a little bit to lose their leaves. You want them to turn color. If they're turning color, everything's good. But if they're still green, you may want to aerate your area around the tree just to get it to dry up a little bit so that it shuts down for the wintertime. And then around about the middle of October, if you haven't turned the water off yet, give everything a good soak, or you may have to take some pails out there and give everything one last good soak to set it up for the wintertime, and then your trees and shrubs will all be, and especially your junipers and cedars, will love it for the wintertime.
Good tip. At 1-877-332-8255, we have a question about garlic. Now, we did talk about this off the top of the show. This was a good time to get your garlic bulbs. But this question from Winyard: can garlic be planted in a raised garden bed over the winter, or does it need to be planted in the ground?
Yeah, a raised garden bed is a little tougher, because it is okay if you had put some styrofoam on the inside of your planter bed, or if you somehow can protect the sides by piling leaves up or putting styrofoam on the outside edge of the planter, something so the horizontal frost doesn't go at the roots, they will do fine. But if it's a fairly tall planter, the horizontal frost will actually kill the bulb.
And from Saskatoon, is it too late in the season to trim back our cedars?
No, you can trim them right now. It's not a problem. The cedars will love it. Just make sure that you only trim back as far as you still see green. Because if you start seeing branches, it takes a lot of years for it to come back again. So only trim so you still see green. Or if you've got a big, tall cedar that's going through the eaves trough, you can bring it down below the eaves troughs. If that's not a problem, you can do that right now, too.
All right. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call. Let's go to Ed in Balgoni. Ed, you've got a question about your spruce trees. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. We've got trees that are about 30, 40 feet high, and the needles on the inside of the trees especially are turning kind of yellow, and then they turn brown. New growth on the end doesn't seem to be too bad, but it seems to be getting worse all the time.
Yeah, you'll see that it just happened in the last basically 7 to 10 days, and you're seeing that mainly because of stress. It was a very hot summer, so a lot of those trees, they didn't get enough water. We had quite a bit of drought, and especially in the central to southern part of the province. And so, and then you also have spider mite on the inside, which sucks on the needles. And then now you're seeing the stress show up. So next year you have to watch for the spider mite, and you might have to do some spraying for that. And you also need to get some water to those trees next summer, and also fertilize in May to get the new growth to happen, and so that the trees fill out, and you won't see that. But it's usually not a death sentence for them. If the brown starts heading out to the tips of the branches, then you could have a disease called needle cast. You have to watch very carefully next year if you have that. And if you get needle cast, you have to spray with copper spray or Bordeaux. You have to start spraying that right away. But most likely right now it's just environmental stresses that you had, and also insect damage, especially if it's on the inside near the trunk and work its way out.
Would it be good to water them now, or is it...
I wouldn't water them just yet, but by the end of September, then give them a last good watering, okay? Unless they're bone dry right now. You can stick a piece of rebar in the ground, and if you have a hard time sticking in the ground, then give them some water right now, yes.
All right, Ed. Thank you very much for the call. Boy, a lot of questions about the spruce trees this time of year, aren't there, Rick?
Yeah, that's the biggest call I'm getting right now, is their spruce and pine trees are turning the yellow and brown on the inside next to the trunk. And that's just because of, like I said, it's been a stressful year for them. Just water them in well this fall, like at the end of September, or if they're bone dry, water them now. And then next year you need to fertilize them, and then you need to scout for insects, especially like spider mite.
All right, 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call. Let's go to Raymore, and Sandra is standing by with a question about her apple trees. Go ahead, Sandra.
Yeah, good morning. I've had these apple trees for probably 20 years, and every year they're just so bountiful, and This year I did not have one apple tree, and there are three different varieties, and they're kind of in a row, and I'm just baffled. Like, at first I thought maybe it was because it was such a windy spring and we are quite open out here. Would that be it, that all the blossoms flew off?
Yeah, absolutely. You had just the right or wrong conditions, however you want to look at it, for when the blooms were on, that we had this spring, and we had that situation happen across the whole province. A lot of people didn't get fruit on the trees. So next year you should be okay, but if you want, you can give your apple tree this fall in October, or otherwise next March or beginning of the first week of April. You give it a bit of a pruning, like thin out the interior of it a bit, and any crossing branches that are crossing each other, it's a good time to get rid of those as well. And then next year you should be okay next year.
Okay. Well, that makes me happy.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mayota now, and Arlene is there with questions about her lawn. Go ahead, Arlene. Good morning.
Yes, my lawn is about 4 years old, and it was doing well. But this spring when the snow melted, I have these large dry patches, and they've lasted all summer. I spread fertilizer, and I put new grass seed, but nothing really happened.
Okay, when you spread the grass seed, what you have to do is you have to rake the grass seed right through the thatch into the soil. If it just sits on top of the thatch, it will grow again, okay?
Okay.
So a couple of things you need to watch for is whether you might have last spring, you might have, did you have notice any snow mold when the snow disappeared? Any
on
your lawn?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so otherwise what you got to watch out for this, even this fall you could do it, is you can dig up at the edge of those patches and look if you have any cutworms or what's called the sod webworm. And you could check, they might be in the sod webworms, and that might have gone into cocoon right now, but just check if you have any cocoons or if you have any worms at the edge of those things. If that's the case, then next year you have to use a product called Grub Buster Nematode. You can even do it this fall if they're still active, but they might have gone into cocoons already.
Called Grub Buster?
Grub Buster Nematode. It's another insect that goes after those insects. Okay?
Okay.
That works very well to get rid of those insects if that's what you have.
Okay, real good.
Arlene, thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to the text line here at 1-877-332-8255. This is coming in from Cheryl in Saskatoon, who does know what kind of hedge she has. It's a Brandon cedar. They're turning brown in the interior of the tree, around 6 inches of green at the tip of the branch. So I guess the question is, did you get a lot of new growth this year?
Yeah, so next year you need to fertilize in May because it puts all its growth on in June. So you need to set the banquet table for those evergreens, whether it be juniper, cedar, spruce, scotch pine, all those kind of mugel pine. You need to set the banquet table in May so that they can have all the food ready to go to start growing in June, because they put all the growth on then. On the inside, there again, you have to watch for fungals. You have to watch for spider mite. Those are the two biggest ones that will get the cedars. And also, remember, those big plants take a lot of moisture in the summertime, so make sure that you've got to probe the soil because you don't know how much moisture is down deep. Because they also will turn brown on the inside if they've been overwatered well. So take a piece of rebar, probe the soil during the summertime, and then find out whether it needs moisture or not moisture. And that's, you just can't tell from looking at the top of the soil at all.
All right, and one more from Katepla here, Rick. I have poison ivy amongst my trees. What do I use to kill the poison ivy and not the trees?
You can use things like a weed killer or even Roundup, as long as you just use a mister bottle and you just spray the leaves of the poison ivy. And don't hit any suckers from the trees themselves. So only just go up nice and close so that you don't get in contact. Or you can even use a paintbrush and paint the Roundup onto the branches, making sure obviously you don't touch them yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, living dangerously there, that is for sure. All right, Rick, thank you very much. We're going to take one more break here, but we'll be back with our remaining moments with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers here on Garden Talk, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Woodsy here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. 51 minutes past the hour, a few moments left with Rick to take your questions and comments at 1-877-332-8255. Let's go right to the phone lines here, Rick, and talk to Pat from Meota, who's got a question about his birch trees. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes, good morning. I'm just wondering, I think you probably answered this question earlier, but it's about watering in for the fall, birch tree particularly, evergreens in the March, and we get our water shut off at the end, beginning of October.
Yeah, so right now, especially starting around September 1st every year, stress the birches and stress the, especially birches and maples are two trees that you need to get to turn color. You want them to turn yellow, okay?
Yeah.
You don't want to go into the winter green. If they gone into the winter green, you don't have to worry about watering it for the fall because there's lots of moisture down there, okay?
Oh, okay, that's great.
But if they turn color, then you want to give them one last good watering right before you turn the water off.
Okay, that's great.
Great. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the show.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Speaking of birch trees, one more question about birches, Rick. This person has a clumping birch. One of the trunks has last bark down to the stem for about 12 inches. The tree looks healthy. Do you have to do anything to protect the stem?
What did you say it has on the stem?
Clumping birch.
Yep.
One of the trunks has bark down to the stem. The tree looks healthy. Do you have to do anything to protect the stem?
No. The only thing you have to watch for protecting the stem is that if you get any, like I just noticed a flock of sapsuckers is went in through my yard. So they're moving, migrating right now. So they came into my yard because of all the mountain ash berries and managed berries. I have lots of berries in my yard. But sapsuckers will go and put lots of holes and lots of linear lines. And if you get, that's the only thing that really bothers those birches, is the sapsuckers, and you just got to make sure that they don't keep poking holes in the same location all the time. That's what the only thing I have to worry about. The birches always just keep them healthy, and they'll be good.
Yeah, I think the question was, I think it was a typo here, lost its bark down to the stem.
Oh, lost its bark.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's lost its bark, no, it'll be fine. If it's just the outside edge, they'll be fine.
No problem. Okay, good. Yeah, I think that was just a typo there. I misread that. Go ahead. Okay, from John in Estevan. With a question about the coleus, can it be brought in and treated like a houseplant for the winter?
Yes, coleus, yes, you can.
Coleus.
Yeah, bring it inside. You can even give it a little bit of a trimming if you want, and then treat it like you would a geranium, okay? So put it in a spot where you get a little bit darker, a little bit cooler, and just water it sparingly, and it will be fine. You can keep it for next year and start it up in the house again in January or February, and then put it back outside next year.
All right. From Chris, who has a lot of grass clippings, are they good fertilizer for my garden this fall? If not, what else is a good natural fertilizer?
A good natural fertilizer I like using for my garden is using alfalfa pellets and then working them into the soil. Good slow release. You can use grass clippings, but if you just put all grass clippings, it's not good because it just takes too much, it steals too much nitrogen to make food for the plants to break it down. So compost your grass in a composter and layer it with leaves and topsoil, a little bit of topsoil and branches and everything else. Don't just put all just straight just grass clippings because it actually takes more nutrients out than it puts in if you just put all just one type in.
All right, moving right along here, 1-877-332-8255 if you have a question for Rick Van Dyvendyke. Here's one from Bernice. Does putting mulch on strawberries hurt them, and can I still harvest rhubarb?
It's probably getting near the end with harvesting rhubarb. I wouldn't take all the leaves right now because it's putting all the sugars are going back down on the root to sustain that plant for the wintertime. So you don't want to take all the stems of the rhubarb. Strawberries, yes, you do want to mulch them. I like using a mulch. Some people like using straw. I don't like using straw because it attracts the voles and the mice to the strawberry patch, and they sit underneath there all winter just chewing on your roots of your strawberries. So, but other than that, you can just use a mulch. It works great.
All right. Here's a question from Mike in Regina. I'm moving my blueberry bushes soon. What amendments can I use to acidify my soil other than peat moss? Composted pine bark is recommended, but not available at many garden centers. What should he do?
Yeah, use aluminum sulfate. Aluminum sulfate, you can get a sulfur as well, but aluminum sulfate most garden centers will have. You can add that to your soil, and that will make your plants be able to be just kosher all summer long. And because if you don't, they will slowly decline in our soils in Saskatchewan because they are naturally acidic, which that's what they need to have to survive.
Okay. From Ray in Saskatoon, I planted grapes this spring. They grew to about 3 feet. The leaves have frozen, though, so what do you do to get ready for winter?
Nothing at all. Grapes are, as long as they're the Concord-style grapes that are hardy in Saskatchewan, there's nothing you need to do. Next year, start fertilizing it, and next year you'll probably get around 6 to 12 feet of growth on them. They'll just grow like crazy as long as you give them some nutrients.
All right, we have a lot of texts coming in. I'm glad we have a chance to get to a few of them today. When is the best time to transplant rose bushes? This text from Nipawin.
Yeah, I like the actual best time is around April 15th, to April 20th, in that range. That's the best time, but you can move them in the fall once the leaves fall off, but you have to mulch them heavy with a bark mulch or peat moss. You have to mulch them right over top of the whole plant if you transplant them in the fall.
All right. And one more here from Saskatoon. This person, Greg, lives in an acreage just south of town. The soil quite dry. Is it okay to seed grass in the fall for it to come up into the spring?
It's getting too late now, so what you want to do is it's getting too early right now for the fall seeding. Wait until about the middle of October, seed it then, and then it'll come up next spring, not a problem.
All right, Rick, we'll have to leave it there. We've still got a lot of texts. A lot of people want to talk to you. So what is the best way to reach you once again?
Just rick@dutchgrowers.com.
All right. So if you have a question, Rick will be more than happy to answer it for you. And hopefully we can maybe get to your question next week. Thank you very much, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great week.
All right. And thank you for listening to Garden Talk here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.